He likes different levels of existence. In the same way that in this life he has also created different levels of existence. You have the mineral world, you have the vegetable world, you have the animal world, and look at the animal world itself. Within the animal world there are so many grades of animals, from the, say, a worm in the lowest scale, and then go up to the intelligent animals. So many grades of animals. He loves this division. And so in the next life we will be divided. And he tells us that those who are on a high level will encompass those who are on a lower level. And those who are on a lower level will never understand those who are on a higher level. And we might say, a great pity that it is like this. But this is the way God likes it. And this is the meaning of heaven and hell, really. The nearest you are to God, you are in heaven. And if you are on a lower level, it is deprivation. It's all relative. It's all relative terms. Heaven and hell is a relative term. But God likes this somehow. We don't know why, but he does. You see, in this creation, look at this creation. What has he created? He has created all kinds of animals. And if it was us, perhaps, if it was us that were going to create them, we would not want to create all these poor animals. Why do you want... Couldn't he make up everything the same like man? Look at this mouse, for instance. You know, have you seen a mouse, poor mouse? What is it in relation to a man? He could have made him like a man. Why didn't he make him like a man? The poor mouse. Well, but he liked it, evidently. He likes these divisions. And so in the next life seems to be that there would be divisions. And this depends on what we acquire in this life. Now there is one thing in here which I wanted to mention so far. We have been comparing the embryo growing in the womb of the mother with the soul which grows in this world. There is one difference. The embryo and all the physical beings have no control over what they do. The embryo grows because the laws of nature makes it so. It grows without any will. But when you apply that law or that principle to a spiritual world, to a higher level, something is added to it. The soul also grows in this life. It acquires qualities and perfections. But there is one thing added to it. It has a choice. It can make the choice. It can make a choice of either acquiring qualities and perfections or not. Whereas the embryo has not got that choice. A tree grows. You put the seed down, it grows. It has no choice. It grows. But a man has a choice to either grow in the right way or the wrong way, to acquire qualities or not acquire qualities. This is a great difference when you apply these laws from the law, from the world of nature, to a higher level. You will find that these things are added to it. And as I mentioned, this is a very important point, really, I think, in our study of the teachings of the faith of Baha'u'llah or any religion. You will find that many of the main teachings of the faith have their origin, or you can find that you can trace their origin in nature. You can see that nature, in fact, is a reflection of the teachings of God. Many of the major teachings of Baha'u'llah, for example, are very natural things. They come, you can find their similarities in nature. And by study of the nature, but study of the nature always along with the writings, then you come across a little understanding, much more understanding, I would say, when you combine these two together, of what life is, of what creation is. Now, so we said that how the soul acquires, the purpose of life is that we acquire qualities and perfections in this life, and we carry them with us to the next stage, which is the spiritual worlds of God. And from there, we start our journey. And that journey will never end, according to Baha'u'llah. He says that man has a beginning, and that is when we are created, but it has no end. That it will continue as long as God exists. Can you imagine this great glory of being born and living, and then never ending this journey, always going closer and closer to God, but he never reaches him in the spiritual worlds of God. endless, limitless, infinite, immortal is the soul. Now, having said all of this, I wanted to mention another dimension in here, in relation to the soul. A very important dimension. So important that all that I have said so far is really becomes only partial when you look at this particular dimension. And in order to explain this dimension, I felt it's a good thing, because there are so many people here that I use the language of nature so that we can understand easier these spiritual, you might say, teachings. It's a very great help. But again, as I said, these are all, when you look at it carefully, you will find, if you can say it without referring to nature, it will be the same as what is in the writings. Always, again, always Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha have used a great many such examples that I gave in their writings. And now this particular thing that I wanted to mention is this, that we'll go to nature. Let me take you to nature again. In nature you will find anything which has an organic growth always begins its existence with a seed. You plant a seed in the ground, the seed grows, becomes a tree, the tree grows, eventually becomes mature, and so on. And the same thing is with the soul. Our soul is exactly the same thing. It has an organic growth. It begins with a seed, you can say, a spiritual seed. And then it grows and acquires qualities and perfections in this life, as we said, just like a tree which grows. But a tree, comes a point in the life of a tree that it must give its fruit. And when it gives its fruit, we say that it has fulfilled itself. You know, a tree which gives its fruit, it has fulfilled itself. That's because it was created for this purpose of producing its own seed. This is a state of maturity, giving birth to something. Now, in life, you will find that a tree cannot produce a tree by itself. It has to be pollinated from a different source. A mother cannot give birth to a child on her own. A female cannot give birth to a child on her own. There must be a relationship with a male factor, with a male, so that the female conceives a child. And then when it conceives a child, she will give birth to a child. Our soul is the same thing. Here must act as a female. If it is going to fulfill itself, the soul must produce a child, must give birth to a child. Our soul now, I'm not talking of the body, our soul. But where does it turn to be fertilized, so to speak? Now this is the point. Where does it turn to? It has a choice to turn wherever it likes. But Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha, in the writings, you can see in this analogy that I give you, which is perhaps my own analogy, but you can see it, what they are asking us to do. They say that our soul, which is now acting as a female and wants to produce a child, should turn to the influences of the manifestation of God. To the influences of this great, the word manifestation of God is a word that Baha'is use to indicate the prophets and the founders of great religions. At each age, there has been manifestations of God. In this age, we Baha'is say, this is Baha'u'llah. And so, for a Baha'i, the soul, acting as a female, will turn to the manifest, to the influences of the revelation of Baha'u'llah today. It opens itself up to the influences of the revelation of Baha'u'llah. It establishes a mystical, a spiritual intercourse with those forces, these forces will be released within the soul. And then comes a time that the soul becomes pregnant, so to speak. And what is this child when it is produced? The spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is produced. Our soul gives birth to the spirit of faith. And this, friends, Baha'u'llah tells us, is the purpose of God creating man. Not just to have a soul come in here and have good qualities and perfections, but to give birth to the spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith comes to us not by our own efforts. It's impossible to come. It's impossible to become a Baha'i by yourself. Impossible. Or becoming a Christian at the time of Christ. The only way you can recognize, the only way that we can have faith is that this mystical spiritual relationship must be established. The forces of the revelation of Baha'u'llah in this age will penetrate into the heart of a person, into the soul, and comes a point that he says, I believe. And when the soul says, I believe, that child is born. The spirit of faith is born. And this, Baha'u'llah tells us, in every age it has been the same thing. When Peter recognized Christ, and he recognized, what did he do? He opened his soul to the influences of the revelation of Christ. And then, what happened to him? He acquired the spirit of faith. Now that spirit of faith belongs, its origin, to two sources. One is from Baha'u'llah in this age. In the time of Christ, it was Christ. In the time of Baha'u'llah, it is Baha'u'llah. But also, it also owes its existence to the soul itself, just like a parent. And so it's very dear to both. Our faith is very dear, not only to ourselves, but also to the one who has to the one who has fertilized our soul, influenced our soul. Now, Baha'u'llah has told us in his writings that if the station of a person who acquires the spirit of faith is known in this world, all humanity will soon die when they see the greatness of this particular station. And then we come to another point. Giving birth to a child is one thing. Perhaps it's easy to give birth to a child. Well, I shouldn't say that, maybe. But it is. It is easy to give birth to a child. All mothers will tell you. It's easy. But it is much more difficult to enable that child to grow, to protect that child from every step of the way, to help him to grow healthily and happily. That's much more difficult. It's easier perhaps today to become a Baha'i, but it is more difficult to let our faith grow. And one of the teachings of Baha'u'llah is that we must always examine ourselves to see whether our morning, this morning, our conditions, spiritual conditions, are better than yesterday. And this is the trend to which we should become accustomed, that the qualities and perfections, which comes always from these manifestations of God, we acquire them in such a way that our morning today is definitely a better state than our previous day. Now, how can we do that? How can we enable that faith, the spirit of faith which is grown, to really become, to grow, to steadily grow, healthily. Now we go back to nature again. The answer is very clear. Go back to nature. And of course again, look at the writings. When you go to nature, you will find, what does a mother do when a child is born to her? What does she do? The first thing she does, she feeds that child with milk. And the child had never had the taste of milk before. None of us can remember what was it like when we first had the taste of milk the first time. But we become accustomed to it after a while. And there comes a time that you become an addict to it, really. You must have it. And it's the same thing with the soul, the spirit of faith. Once it is born, it has to be fed with spiritual food. And Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha have told us that the spiritual food is the Word of God. The Word of Christ was the spiritual food for the people of his time. And today, without having the spiritual food, we cannot grow. And Baha'is know this. This is one of the teachings of Baha'u'llah, that every morning and every evening, we have to read his writings, the writings of Baha'u'llah, the writings of the faith. It becomes our spiritual food. We do not read them so that our knowledge may increase. That's a different thing. If you want to study the faith, which we should, study religions, we study them in our own time and study the history, study various writings, and then that's all right. But to read the writings in the morning and in the evening is the source of our spiritual growth. I feel that this subject of the soul, which I have given to you in the form of mostly going to nature and drawing a parallel, is so important, so vital for the achievement of all the great hopes that we have for the world of humanity. That if peoples of the world would realize that these few days that they are living in this world is not worth fighting, is not worth disliking, is not worth disagreeing, because none of these things we can take it with us into the next life. None of these things. They're all negative things. Then, if they would realize, if the peoples of the world, and this is, I think, our function, more and more, to explain to people that a human being, the major part of a human being, is his soul. And it is that soul that, if that soul is perfect, if that soul establishes, as I said, a mystical relationship with God and recognizes that truth, then the world conditions will be so different. And we, as Baha'is, wherever we go, we incline to people towards this particular understanding of spiritual values in the life of man. And it is in this way that the soul can play a major part in establishing, now that we are talking about peace or anything else which is worthwhile in human endeavor, we can establish it by recognizing the spiritual values in our soul. And this is why the subject was brought today, so that we could focus our attention to. And always remember this, that our soul must grow day by day. Because in this life, things are either growing or declining. There is nothing stationary. So if I feel that there is nothing happening to me, I cannot feel anything great, it means that perhaps I am on the decline. And to be always aspiring to grow spiritually.